Hello and welcome back, Blurs fans. This week we are sponsored by Beer Cup Snakes. That's right, we are the only podcast that is officially sponsored by the Cup Snakes at Wrigley Field. So anytime you are at a sporting event, be it a Cubs game or a Blurs game later this year, and you make your Cup Snakes, make sure to think of us. No, but really, we got some cool stuff, some different stuff this week on the podcast. We have some more recent news items, such as like the Summer League, a couple updates on the players we had in the Summer League, as well as former Blurs who signed new contracts overseas. Then we have a fun hypothetical question that was sent in by a listener, and we're going to finish it up with a fun story, a news story. I think we might be breaking news. We're reporting about a new bar on Loyola's campus. So stay tuned, stick with us, and go Blurs.
He passes out to Hunter. Hunter shoots off the rim. Rouse gets it, scores. It's over. It's over. We won. We won the ball game. Loyola won the ball game. Oh, we won 60-58.
Hello and welcome back. We hope you had enough time during that little intro to build your Cup Snakes. But if you didn't, now's the time. So this week we're going to start off, we're going to talk about our former Ramblers who had some playing time in the Summer League. One far more than the other. But still, we did have two Blurs alumni in the Summer League. We had our boy Milton Doyle, one of the legends of Loyola, playing for the Kings. He formerly was with Brooklyn, I believe, a couple years back. Has played in the Summer League before, has played in the now G League, and did also make his debut in the NBA. He had a lot of time, a lot of experience overseas, and he came back and was able to play in the Summer League. The other guy we had was Marcus Towns, who was with the Bulls. Unfortunately, did not really get much time or many opportunities. But nonetheless, still, I'm sure, a very cool experience for him playing alongside some very talented young players there with the Bulls Summer League. So, Lou, what was your takeaway from Milton Doyle's Summer League experience this year?
Yeah, so I'd say Summer League was kind of tough to see him not start. He kind of might have thought he might have broken in there with the Kings Summer League starters. Again, though, he was kind of sitting behind Kyle Guy. For those who remember Kyle Guy this past year, most, I think, valuable player, most outstanding player, they call it in the NCAA tournament. Then the Final Four helped win Virginia, University of Virginia, win NCAA tournament. So he was kind of their big player for the Kings playing. But Milt played his game, and then, of course, he did what he did great. He broke out. Leading scorer, he had 22 points in a game. That game, he was really really concentrated on the three. That was great to see. One of his first games wasn't really hitting the shots right away. So that was something great to see from him because you know he has this. And again, that just relates to when he was in the G League with the Nets, how he was going off for the Nets, dropping 30 points some games, high 20s. So again, coming in from Spain, playing this past year overseas is great. I don't know. There hasn't been any news recently about signing or anything, if he's potentially signing or even a practice contract or anything like that. So we'll be keeping an eye out for that. But I think his summer league was decent. Definitely could have been a lot better from a fan standpoint and also from a stats point. But I think he kind of played a pretty good time. Yeah,
it's got to be hard, I'd imagine, to like have to show yourself in five games. Like that's like, you could have a couple bad games, a couple nights where you don't really get the opportunities, and then maybe you have one decent game. So I'd imagine like that's got to be so frustrating for some of those guys. I mean, I'm glad Milt had that one good game. I think he scored like 16 or 18 points in the fourth quarter, too. He really like showed out that game. But I know I checked his like last game when they were like in the little tournament at the end, and he had a really rough like shooting night from three. And so I'm sure it's just really difficult to make a good impression if you only have five games. And he did average 10 points a game over the five games he played, couple rebounds and I think three assists, something around there. So he showed that he can has the ability to do other things, help a team win, which is really important for a guy like Doyle. It was cool to see him, and I know he got interviewed after one of the games, and it's just really cool to see a guy like that do something, a guy from our previous teams, be successful. But good for Milt. We hope the best for him. Where do you think he might end up this season? Like, what do you think his path is this year?
I could see, hopefully, maybe he gets a workout with some teams. I think a comfortable stretch would definitely be G League. I definitely think he can keep up in the G League and really compete. Though the G League, in my opinion, is getting very competitive. I think over 50% of the current NBA players have had some G League experience and time of stay. A great example for local listeners, can we talk about Fred Van Fleet from the NBA champion and former Wichita State player. But he started in the G League and then developed into it. So I think the G League's kind of tough, but I think Milt can really fight his way and play his way in. But on the other end, flip side there, is I think he can show European teams that, hey, I just was invited to play in Summer League because I am of this high caliber. Potential NBA teams are looking at me. I think he could even break into a top-tier league. And he played in a good league, but I think he could even move up to even a higher team and become a good role player and even starter for some strong European teams. Just a consistency way of playing would be great for Milt.
Yeah. I think you're pretty spot on there. G League would be obviously the best case scenario. And hopefully he can just get rostered on one of those teams. And if not, he's going to be playing professional basketball somewhere. Like, he's either going to be in the G League or he's going to be in one of the top tier leagues in Europe or some, you know, another continent. It was good to see him play. On the flip side, unfortunately, our guy Marcus Towns did not really have the best summer league. He didn't play poorly, but he just didn't play. That was kind of the issue. In five games, he only played a grand total of 8 minutes, scored one basket, and had, I think, a few rebounds. Kind of tough to see. I can tell we follow him on all the social media stuff, and he was really pumped about playing for the Bulls Summer League, posting all the time about, working out and doing that kind of stuff. So I'm sure it wasn't an easy pill for him to swallow to be really one of the last guys off the bench in a Summer League, on a Summer League team like the Bulls. But I'm sure it's a good opportunity for him. I actually saw that he was playing in the NJBL. Recently, he just tweeted that it's a New Jersey basketball league. So, I mean, I don't know what kind of league that is. I'm sure it's just kind of like a street ball like type of league with a bunch of like ex college players. I think I saw like Miles Powell is playing in it, who goes to Seton Hall or either just graduated or still plays there. So I saw that, but I'm sure for him it was a cool opportunity. Work out with some of the guys, see what it's like to be a part of that sort of team, but I'm sure he's got to be frustrated with what his role was with that team, because that can't be fun.
Yeah, no, I think it was just kind of a hard spot to fill in. They did, and especially his position. So
they were loaded at guard.
So that's the issue. Yeah, no. So again, is their top pick was a guard, Coby White for the Chicago Bulls. So that was definitely, I think, a hard position to jump into. But the thing is, I think for guys like Marcus to even get considered, that means NBA talent finds his skill there. Mm-hmm. Though if it's exactly what certain teams are looking for, he's gotten out there, he's working out with teams, he's getting the proper mentality and workout in. So I think definitely the guard position, as watching some of these games, especially with the Bulls, they were just loaded. Mm-hmm.
So they had like 15 roster spots, and I swear to you, like 11 of them were guards. They didn't have a center on their roster.
Exactly. So that's the thing, and I think that's what they're – as if we're going to just dissect the Chicago Bulls really quick, that's a position they need to fill really well.
Yeah.
They have guys that are big, and they kind of have those role players that are big. They need to find their next guard, and I think that's what they were really looking for, was a platoon of guys who could next man up, as the Loyola Ramblers say, with the point guard situation. And that's why they drafted Coby White. So for Marcus Towns to come in – and really try to fit right in, unless he showed something really spectacular. Again, as he kind of ended the season on a rough note, so that was kind of something that was hard to really show off. But the fact that he got invited was something amazing, and that's a big thing, I think. I did see he's heading back down to the DR, I believe, for some basketball.
Yeah.
So that's always good to see. Again, it's if he goes off there, that's game tape for him to show, and that's just a way for him. I don't know what competition he's going to be playing, but you never know who's out there, what scouts might be out there. But I think the main thing, we'll jump into it now if you're going to ask, where do I see Marcus?
That was,
I definitely think G League's kind of out of the realm, especially if Summer League wasn't the fit right away, and he really didn't have the stage. And again, sometimes it's just like the opportunity to present and show yourself really wasn't there for him. But I think overseas is definitely an easy call to make for him. Mm-hmm. I definitely think he's going to want to pursue that very heavy. Again, as he's doing the DR, so I think he's trying to do whatever he can to show a platform of, hey, I'm a baller. I can play. I played with a great team at Loyola. I'm playing with the DR to represent. So he's got the passion and the dedication to want to play. It's just if he can put all that with the skills, then I think maybe although I think I don't see really a Tier 1 team right away. I think he might have to prove himself in Tier 2 level of like a France, Spain. Even might go out to Poland. There's Ben went out there.
Iceland.
Iceland, Andre. So, and then we'll talk about two guys, former graduates who we haven't had the experience of watching at Loyola, but they're still out there who are playing. So, and there's a former player called Blake Shib or Shibe. I don't know how to pronounce. He's won a Euro League out there. So there are Ramblers who are out there in Europe, and I think Marcus can fit that mold really well. So looking forward.
I wonder if there's any leagues in the Dominican Republic that he's like thought about, played with. I mean, it might be something. He loves his country. He goes back there all the time. I don't know how they do well, if they're good leagues, but I might look for that. You know, if he doesn't get a shot in the G League, like we mentioned, he's going to try to play somewhere overseas, and maybe we see him end up in the Dominican, just because it's where he's from. I mean, to summarize, we had one guy do very well and one guy not really get any opportunity. So, from there, we're going to shift gears and talk about a couple Ramblers who did end up signing contracts overseas. And, Lou, you know them better than I do. So, I mean, we did want to talk about how we're not just a Final Four podcast. So, please, take it away.
Yeah, I want listeners to know we did emerge out of the Final Four era of the Loyola Ramblers, and again is kind of seeing the our tournament coming in November with the Cayman Islands, right?
Mm-hmm.
They tweeted actually recently the other day, so that's what made me think. They were like, they mentioned the 2018 run, and that's a great thing to say, but I realized I don't want us to kind of be just labeled a podcast only out of one great year of success. So I think this is a great way to mention how we're just a Loyola Rambler basketball team podcast. We're a Loyola Rambler fan podcast. So going into that, I want to mention and say congrats to two former Ramblers who thank you to the Loyola Men's Basketball Twitter for keeping us updated with this. But guys who former played and they signed. So one right off the bat is the older of the two, Tracy Robinson. He played at Loyola back in 2004 to 2008. He's a 6'7", so he's a big guy. Would have been great to have with us. I think that would have been awesome. But he signed with a team down in Brazil. Last season, he actually was with a team where he averaged 15.9 points a game, 5 rebounds, and 2.2 assists, while shooting at a 42.8% field goal, so from the field. So that's a pretty solid thing, and he's still playing professional basketball. He's getting paid to play. He's getting so he's had definitely a long professional playing career with they mentioned he's played in Argentina, Belgium, Saudi Arabia, Peru, and Chile. So I think this guy is just a way to show Loyola Rambler fans and also players that you can go out there and play professionally. And I think that's just cool to see an extension of the network like that.
Damn, he's a Rambler and a Globetrotter.
There you go. He's been all over. Yeah, exactly. Then
for all you dad joke like lovers out there, there you go.
We're a dad joke podcast too.
Yep.
But then moving on to kind of a recent player for those who are fans out there, and also a player who played under Porter Moser, I believe Jordan Hicks. He played here from 2008-2013. So Hicks was part of, as again, for listeners who follow the team, I know he's close with players like London players like Ben Averkamp, Joe Chrisom, so guys who were kind of Porter's first crew of players. He was a big guy with Porter and the team. So what he's doing right now is 6'6" guard / forward. Last year he was in Luxembourg, but also he's moving into France right now, so not that far. But last year he averaged 20.6 points a game, 7.5 rebounds, and 2.8 assists, and also 1.5 steals per outing, while actually connecting with a 50% field goal on the field. So that's just a great thing to see. His stats are high, and he's trying to play at the next level. So he began professionally in 2013 right after leaving Loyola, and he's just continued since. So it's not like these guys are not playing at professional levels. These guys are getting in there. So it's really great to see former Ramblers. Again, is the article where you take it from is the LoyolaRamblers.com. Check it out. So we were talking about Tracy Robinson heading to Brazil. Then there's still Blake Schieb or Schlieb. Please let me know how you pronounce your last name. I'll look into it. But he's playing in France. He played fun note for listeners who care about basketball. Blake, former Loyola Rambler, played with C.J. McCollum's brother for the EuroLeague title. So they won
CJ,
a Euro.
C.J., current Portland Trailblazers.
Yeah, current Portland Trailblazers.
Stud.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, I think it's just great to see Loyola Ramblers out there in the professional world. As this past year, fans noticed, they had a segment a few times called Ramblers in the Pros or Pro Ramblers.
So really we're just like kind of prepping listeners for when they go to Blurs games, if they can win gear and gift cards, and like if they're asked to come down onto the floor,
there we go,
and answer some trivia. We're really just doing you all a favor.
Yeah, no, these are guys whose names should be mentioned, and they have a quick little snippet. I think it's about maybe a 15-second clips of showing guys and what teams they are. So
if you win trivia at the games, you're contractually obligated to give us 50%.
Exactly,
it's in the podcast. It's in
our contract for listeners. Yeah. So.
Agreement.
We're a Loyola Rambler podcast. We're basketball, so this is what we want to mention. So congrats to former Ramblers for signing professional.
Yeah, congrats, guys. I think we're going to take a little break here. It's going to be some fun stuff coming up next. So stay tuned and go Blurs. About you, but I'm pretty hyped up after that sound bit.
I
kind of want to just like go run out onto Gentile Arena and like high five some people, try to go up and grab the rim, miss horribly, you know, find Sister Jean, give her a hug, do all of that. But do you think we're going to be doing that in 2030?
Why are we talking about 2030?
Well, we got a pretty great fan question this week, and someone asked and wrote in, where do you want Ramblers basketball to be in the year 2030? And it kind of got me thinking, you know, I don't know. I mean, what I know is Porter Moser's probably not going to be here.
Mm-hmm.
Probably going to have a new arena by then, maybe, hopefully. Fingers crossed. The jerseys are probably going to be newer and cooler. But I don't know who's going to be on the court. You know, definitely Sister Jean is going to be alive. For sure. I mean, no doubt. A 111 going strong.
Just to let people know, Sister Jean will turn 100 this August.
Yes. I think it's like 35 days, something like that. But I don't know what the product on the court's going to look like. We don't know, you know, who's going to be playing for us. But one thing that I did think might be kind of cool to discuss, and we've got to put on our hypothetical hats here, is if we'll still be in the Missouri Valley Conference in the year 2030. We did recently move to the Valley in 2013 is when it became finalized. But, you know, with our successful year the past 2 years, 2 years ago going to the Final Four, last year winning the conference, and hopefully with more Valley Conference championships to come in the next few years, brings up an interesting thought, is if we're still going to be in the Valley come 2030, and that's in, you know, 11 seasons. So I thought maybe we could discuss some realistic options, or somewhat realistic, and then also maybe throw in one, like, hypothetical, definitely wouldn't happen, but it would be fun to think about. So, I mean, how do you feel about those? You feel pretty good?
I think I can come up with a few.
Yeah? All right. Yeah. Do you want to start us off?
Yeah.
All right, go for it. What, so, you're realistic.
We're going realistic. So, I think realistically, in about 11 years, we'll have one of Porter's kids. Porter Moser has kids, I think, that are close to when in 11 years from now they'd be in their 20s, maybe 2019. So, I think one of them will probably be a stud at Loyola.
Okay.
But if we want to move into more realistic, I think we make a move to a conference like the A-10, Atlantic 10, but also I think you'll see a lot more conferences. As teams become more D1 teams, I think conferences are going to become more and more. You're going to see the field of the NCAA tournament extend. So you're going to have a lot more competition playing, so I think a lot more conferences. One idea that's always been floated around is the Catholic School Conference. The Big East has always kind of been linked to that. And it won't be called the Catholic School Conference. But as many of you know, especially Loyola, some Jesuit schools, some Catholic schools are big basketball programs. To mention a few, Marquette, Creighton, Providence, Georgetown, St. John's. So places like that are kind of connected to a Catholic kind of idea. But just regardless of that, I think we need to really promote in the over the next 11 years how we are a big city team. And that's such an attractive thing to other conferences, is getting their games televised in big cities. And I think things like the Atlantic 10, they have St. Louis. And I was like, well, let's add Loyola. Loyola would be a great network to have Chicago, St. Louis, and then the East Coast. But then you look at the Big East, you got teams like DePaul and Marquette, and then you got Omaha. So maybe I think a few of those teams might move around. Again, Creighton and Butler used to be in the Missouri Valley, teams like that. So you see these teams move up after they've done well. And I think hopefully you see in the next over 11 years, you see it 2 to 3 times. We've definitely made the NCAA tournament. I don't know moving forward how many times we would have seen the Final Four like we did before. So it's going to be an interesting thing, but I think it will be a great experience to have, is to see that develop.
Yeah, when we were kind of spitballing and talking about conferences, one of the difficulties we came upon was that Loyola does not have football, which I would say probably close to 70 or 75% of NCAA, at least the high, our level, mid-major to high-major schools have a collegiate football team. And a lot of the conferences that have sports will either be a football conference or a conference without football. Like, for instance, the Big East is all basketball teams that don't have football, or I think the majority of them. I could be wrong on a couple. And like we mentioned just now, the A-10 also doesn't have football. But that aside, one of the conferences that I thought was kind of interesting, and I think they kind of go toe-to-toe with the Missouri Valley Conference, at least right now, is the Mid-American Conference, which I think is kind of an interesting thought. They have always had a pretty good team in Buffalo there who's been consistent. NIU has been to the tournament a few times. And I don't know if there's a way to kind of take some of the better teams from mid-major conferences such as the Missouri Valley, the MAC, or teams like Murray State, something like that, and combine that way. But, I mean, last year we played against Ball State, lost to Ball State. They've always had a few good teams in the MAC. And just kind of – it kind of depends where the Missouri Valley Conference goes as a whole. For instance, if teams that we've seen be successful, like Missouri State or Drake, start to consistently be really good and play on a national stage and play some teams, high major teams like they've been scheduling more recently, maybe we can get 3 or 4 teams to start a new conference, like a mid-major conference with better teams. So I don't know, that's just kind of spitballing, but if I had one thought, maybe the Mid-American Conference.
Yeah, so I'm just going to kind of a little disagree with one of your points. I definitely think the Mid-American Conference is lower than us.
Okay.
Just because the teams, not every team they have there, especially after last year, I think Buffalo kind of just ran away with it because they were kind of a stacked team. But your ideas kind of made me think. I think maybe if we're going to be realistic, I see in 11 years, if we don't tend to move toward the maybe the Catholic School Conference, I would think a great fit would be a conference called like the Great Lakes Conference,
mm-hmm.
where you have teams because you reach a whole bunch of states with Wisconsin, Illinois, Indiana, Michigan, Ohio, Pennsylvania. You can kind of say they have a little bit maybe toward the Great Lakes. And then New York, Buffalo hits the Great Lake just there too. So I would say maybe in a few years you could have a suggestion. Again, it's as so many teams start coming into Division One like that, I would say you kind of could consider these teams. You got cities like Milwaukee, Chicago, Detroit. Mm-hmm. You got Cleveland right there. You got then you could even say – you got Pittsburgh and Buffalo. So if you just kind of did a swoop of the Great Lakes, it would be a concentrated thing, but also you would have such a great field for tournament play. You'd reach a lot of big city and media outlets, so you'd get the names out there. And I think you could easily mix and match with teams that are kind of high majors. So like Buffalo is becoming a high major. Now if they move in with a new head coach moving forward, I think they could be a developing school to a high a mid-major. Loyola, high mid-major now. So just seeing that in the future, I definitely like that idea of maybe creating a new conference. I would say I would call it the Great Lakes Conference.
Also, like going off of that, the Great Lakes Conference idea, there might be some like high major teams that like start to struggle for years and years.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I'm not trying to be shady, but two that I can think of right off the top of my head are Northwestern and DePaul. They've been bad for years. I can't remember the last time. I mean, DePaul did win what they won the one of the end of the year tournament, or did they didn't win? I think they took.
They were in the final. Yeah, they were in the final of I believe the CBI.
Yeah, which I mean is something. It's like a successful end of the season, but they did have Max Strus there, who pretty much carried that team during some really bad years. And I mean, Northwestern has really struggled the past 2 years. Chris Collins. Probably on the hot seat a little bit there. And, you know, that's kind of one of the things I thought they had going for them was a consistent head coach. But, you know, you start to struggle for years at a time. So what I'm trying to say is maybe some of these Midwestern high major teams that are struggling in these big conferences might get kind of the boot out. I don't know how their contracts work with these conferences, but I know high major conferences are always looking to expand or add or become more competitive, whatever that might be. And if sometime they can become more competitive by cutting off some of the fat in their conferences, you know, maybe by 2030 we're looking at, you know, four or five mega conferences for high majors, and some teams like DePaul and Northwestern don't make the cut. So I don't know, it's you know, some future conference might include like a Great Lakes sort of concept might include. And DePaul is also a religious or private institution, so they could also be a part of that, like that sort of conference idea as well. But yeah, I mean, I think if I had to put money on whether or not, if I went to Vegas and I bet in the year 2030, is Loyola going to be in the Missouri Valley Conference? Yes or no? I think I would bet no. I think the age we're moving into now is like teams and schools being able to move around more freely. I think just in the past like 2 years, we've seen six or seven of college basketball teams moving around. This year, the biggest one, UConn, decided to move out of the American
Conference. Yeah, they just left the American.
American to the Big East. So I think that's just becoming more and more common. And as college basketball conferences become more competitive and looking to make more money, they're going to be looking to add and subtract teams and schools more frequently. Segue, unless you if you want to give me some more realistic options, I mean, those are pretty out there, but a little realistic. I think one of my kind of hypothetical scenarios is Loyola joining the Big East. I don't think it's very realistic. I think the Big East is very competitive. The schools' budgets that are in the Big East are double or triple Loyola's, including Marquette, now UConn. I know UConn has a huge basketball budget. Seton Hall, St. John's, you know, it's just some of the bigger names in that conference. But I would love to start some rivalries, especially with Marquette. That'd be fun. You know, making the hour and a half, 2 hour trip to Marquette to go down to, what do they play at the, Pfizer Forum now?
Yeah.
I've been there. It's incredible. I'm sure we'd get, I'm sure there's a lot of Marquette grads living in Chicago that would love to come to Gentile to see Marquette try to be Loyola in the year 2030. But yeah, I mean, I think that'd be a super fun thing. And, I don't know how it would happen, but it'd be fun. Do you have a hypothetical scenario that you want to throw out there?
No, I think maybe a stretch would be Loyola creates an FCS football.
we are undefeated in football.
Well, we are.
Oh, wow. Yeah, we never lost.
Oh.
Because we never played.
We used to have a team.
Oh, okay. Since, like,
I think back in, like, the 20s, maybe if listeners know, they can write in and let us know. But
connect us with some of the former players.
but I think maybe if Loyola keeps buying a property, maybe we'll have enough campus stretching from Gentile to Hoyne Field. And you could have a whole strip down to Vaughn, and maybe we'll call it Loyola Lane or something. I don't know. But I think a football thing would be cool. Tailgate's coming back. Mm-hmm. But right now, we just got, again, maybe just to add on, I can see the finishing touches to the Alfie, the field house we have.
Right.
So
right.
I think the school is putting money toward the teams, and again, is going to the NCAA tournament helps fund money back to the conference and to the team. So in 11 years, that question, again, coming from a fan, it's all hypothetical, but some of the stuff you can actually hopefully predict after we kind of see, again, is in these next 2 years are kind of the big years, the recap of the teams after making the big push in the NCAA tournament. What's the next move? So I think that's what we're going to see. And again, it's Porter's contract and all that. So just the culture around the team and the program. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. I have a phone call to take really quick. It's the head of the ACC. They actually just asked us to come play in the ACC. So that's a very realistic option next year. You see the Loyola Duke rivalry. Coach K actually is going to retire and then unretire and then take Porter's job when Porter has to go coach at Northwestern, unfortunately.
Everyone, that's the thing us two have been talking about. I think we'll kind of end on this, but we've been talking about if Chris Collins is on the hot seat, we're going to put that out there. Porter Moser, I think, might consider that role.
No, definitely not. But he might. It might be an option for him. So those are some just like hypothetical scenarios. Kind of fun to think about. But obviously the most important thing is that the Blurs need to keep winning basketball games, no matter how they do it, who they do it against. You know, over this next decade is going to be very interesting to see how they grow, if they do, and where they go. But the next thing, we have some news to report, which is like kind of new to us. We're usually just recapping and talking Blurs basketball. But in the spirit of our podcast being a Loyola podcast, we found out recently that historic and unfortunately shut down Bar 63. It did shut down, I think, this past fall, so the fall of 2018, due to, I don't know, tax, health, probably food code, who knows. But just recently, it is being developed, and I think it's being purchased, or has been purchased, by a couple of new developers, or new buyers. The tavern, that is going to be going into the old Bar 63, and the old Hamilton's, formerly Bar 63, is going to be this new tavern called Cochran's Tavern. So it's going to be is purchased by a couple of guys who used to be the owners of a LGBT sports bar called Crew Bar and Grill. They also owned a couple other eateries around Chicago. And they decided that they wanted to purchase this this space to bring a new tavern into Edgewater. Cochran's is honoring one of the founding fathers of Edgewater, John Cochran. So it's going to be, from what I can tell from the article, it sounds like it's going to be laid out pretty similar to what Bar 63 was. There's going to be a bar room. There's going to be like family eating space, which I don't completely know what that means. But then there's going to be another space that can be used for events, similar to what 63 had. They, in this article on EdgevilleBuzz.com, they talk about how the owners really want to make sure that it doesn't become – well, they said that they're not going to be a college bar, and also from my take, that means they're probably going to be pretty hard on fake IDs. So all you freshmen and sophomores out there, don't go trying your fake IDs at Cochran's Tavern. But it sounds like it's going to be a cool addition to the neighborhood. They really needed it. Like Rogers Park, Edgewater, around Loyola's campus really needed another bar or tavern. And whether they like it or not, it's probably going to become a college bar. I know I can speak from experience as a junior and senior at Loyola. Like, I went to 63 pretty often for games. And if they're showing the games there and it's that sort of atmosphere, then that's what it's going to become. There's probably pretty little they can do about it. But I think it's pretty cool. Lou, what do you think? Do you think it's cool? Do you think it's not cool?
I think Cabin Bars, as you see Bulldogs become, comes a Loyola bar with Loyola Rambler games. So just having that atmosphere and those locations kind of help promote the team and the program and just the community. I think it's especially with the new apartment complexes.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. There's some new apartment complexes going up right near there. It's probably going to – the article goes on to talk about how the owners really want it to become a neighborhood bar where anyone's welcome. I mentioned before, they did have an LGBT bar, but they said, you know, we're in this time and era where it doesn't matter, like, who comes into the bar, anyone's welcome, that sort of community feel. But it seems like a super cool thing. I'm excited about it. I want, you know, something fun to go to watch a Blurs game if I'm not in the stadium. So I thought that was pretty cool. We'll keep you updated if anything else new happens regarding the old 63. I think people are always going to call it 63. I don't know about you, but I think it's just in that space where anyone's going to call it 63. So unless you had any last thoughts or ideas or, I don't know, predictions, Lou?
No, I think that's it. I think we hit everything we wanted to really talk about our Loyola Rambler podcast.
Yeah.
Not just the Final Four. So, yeah.
All right. That'll do then. Thank you all for tuning in and listening. We're trying to make these, you know, episodes every so often. It seems like 2 weeks might be about what it's going to be until there's more news. But that's going to do it for us here at Podcast 63. Thank you all for tuning in, and go Blurs.